The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. I think we have a finals game tonight. I'm kind of confused because they're so spread out. And we got the team back together, so let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESB entry number 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, walk around naked with a question on your chest, put odds on it. What are the odds?
What are the odds you have a working air conditioner at home?
Percent 1,000.
Oh, good.
Thankfully.
Good. Yesterday's show, the number that was put on it was 100% ass. Is
really?
What I was told about yesterday's show from Jong. He said yesterday's show, 100% ass.
See, I don't want that. I don't want it to be as good as when I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always that little bit, but you don't want it to be ass either. You want it to be pretty good. Like, and there's guys that I know I trust to do the show really well when I'm not here, so you don't worry about it as much. But yeah, sorry to hear that.
I don't think that was quite my description of the show.
I think it was. I think it was exactly it. You said it was really, really horrible.
I would say it was 40% ass.
40% ass.
Yeah.
So what was the assy part then?
The assy part? I mean,
Craig Koshkin.
Oh, okay.
It had
so
to be,
you
right?
You did 60% of the show.
Yeah, like knowing that I was going to be great, I mean, it has to be on him.
Well, it's his first time. Yeah, it's that first time call up. Remember how Alex Bregman started last year?
Yeah, that's true.
He came out like 1-for-40 or whatever.
Well, and you know, the first time you have sex, it's always like a total disaster, and you're embarrassed, and you can't wait to try it again. I'm guessing that's how he feels. Like he's like, I got to make this up somehow.
Yeah, but the way that guy looks, he's probably had that happen before, and probably had to wait 2 years to get another shot at sex, would be my guess.
Yeah.
So, well, appreciate him filling in, but I'm just happy I have a damn air conditioner. Man, that you want to talk about a job that sucks? Is those poor guys that have to work on air conditioning? Because it's always hot, because they're always broken.
Yeah.
And it was like 4.5 hours it took them to do it. I never know how much to tip those guys.
Because you don't pay for the, you don't, like, is this part of your...
Yeah, it's part of my home warranty. I paid $60, basically, for them to come out and spend 4.5 hours fixing my air conditioner. So I gave them 40, but I felt like that was a little light.
I don't know. I don't know what the proper thing is with that either. That's not a strong suit for me.
Yeah, because I tend to, on things that are borderline, I'll always tip.
Yeah.
Just because, especially if some guys come out there and are spending a bunch of work in your house. I mean, especially for that. I'm just curious, though, if anyone who does that job, what a good tip is.
You know where I'm confused about tipping? Have either of you been to Hop Dottie?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Overrated.
Okay. I think the food is good.
Well, I guess because I say overrated because the first time I went, I had to wait almost 2 hours.
Oh,
and it's not a 2 hour wait.
No, no. Mm-hmm. There's no burgers worth a 2 hour wait. I mean, it's a good burger, but let's not get crazy here. But at that place, you get in line, you order at the counter, and then you have to, like, when you pay for your food, you pay for your food at the counter. You're supposed to leave a tip then. But then they bring the food out to you. You fill your drink initially. They get you refills. Like, is it Whataburger? Is it full service? What are we doing? It's like a hybrid. It's so weird to me. And I don't know what to do. And I'm one of those people who, if there's a line for a tip, I feel like I have to. Like, it's weird, but I feel like, well, I got to do something.
Yeah.
And a big problem for me is I've gotten to where I sort of tip more than what's appropriate because my name is on credit cards, and all it's going to take is someone saying, oh, that guy, he's a cheap bastard.
Yeah, and they tweet it out. And
yeah, like I don't need that.
I'm always real careful about
that. So it's very weird for me, especially at places like that, because I don't know what kind of place it is. Like at at Torchy's, for instance, Torchy's Tacos, it's the same way. You wait in line, you order your food at the counter, you pay for it, and then someone drops your food off for you at your table where you've got a number.
Okay.
They don't even refill my drinks there. I mean, like I'm getting my own drinks. So I feel like that's basically like fast food type service.
Yeah.
But depending on, I always tip like $1 per person in my party. So if I've got my wife and two kids, I tip $4, which almost seems like too much because what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're just bringing my food out.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not really sure.
Because I do believe like if you've got a real waiter who's like attending your needs, he takes your order, he goes and puts the order in, he makes sure it's all put together right. If there's a problem with it, he's going to fix it. He's refilling your drinks constantly. He's bringing you your check at the end. That's a full service meal, and that warrants in my opinion, a 20% or greater tip. But I don't know what to tip in those situations. Those hybrid, are you a real restaurant or are you a counter service restaurant? And I really wish they would all stop doing that.
Yeah. I try to avoid going to places where it's going to be iffy, but
yeah,
I'll still do 20% just for that very reason. I don't want anybody to say, oh, look, this dude tipped 3%.
Maybe you do it like you would do a takeout where you don't tip as much.
Maybe.
Right. At takeouts, you tip, but not the full 18-20%.
No. I usually tip like 5-10%, but because it's 10% if they bring it out to your car, and I do like 5% if I go inside and get it.
Okay.
And so there's some people who don't tip those people at all. But by the way, like if my takeout order is like $20, it's probably going to be 10% anyway. It's going to be $2 or $3. But someone has to like get that food together, put it in the bag, make sure you've got plasticware and all that stuff. And people will say, oh, that's their job. It's their job that pays them like $3 an hour and relies on tips. So don't be a douche. But I don't know. I feel like the employees at Hop Dotty aren't making waiter and waitress wages. I know the people at Torchy's aren't. Those aren't wait. They're not making $3 an hour. They're making minimum wage probably, or maybe even more. But when there's a tip line, I feel so pressured to tip.
832 says I go for 10% for stuff like that and to go orders.
Okay.
So like there's the little place where there's a restaurant / convenience store where I used to live. And if I went there and got convenience store stuff, I wouldn't tip. But if I bought food and they actually had to make it, then I would tip them.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tip them because I'm buying an energy drink out of their counter there.
Yeah.
But they have a tip jar there. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll tip you when you're making me food.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, let's continue on this train. So today I am driving down 45. Yesterday on my way home is when my gas light came on.
Okay.
And I ignored it. I drove all the way to the Woodlands to train today. And then I started driving down to work. And my truck, once you hit okay, like when the gas light comes on, that means I think you've got like 40 miles or something, 50 miles. And it'll tell you how many miles you have left till empty.
Yeah.
Well, once you ignore it, it doesn't tell you again until there are 10 miles to empty. And so the 10 miles to empty thing popped up while I was on 45. Hmm. And it got down to about 5 miles to empty before I exited. And I exited at some crappy gas station. And I'm filling up my truck. And while I'm filling up my truck, I say, okay, I'm going to go inside and get an energy drink. And while I'm inside, I'm looking at the energy drinks, and they don't have the kind that I like.
Right.
I like to drink that Zions, which, by the way, they're not a sponsor. It's not a plug. I just, that's what I like.
That's like the ones I like are that Bang, because it's zero calories. Yeah. And It's got creatine in it. It's really good.
And I like Red Bull, but I feel like Red Bull's overpriced compared to the rest of the market, so I just don't usually get it. And so while I'm going over all these pros and cons in my head about the energy drink selection, I tell myself, you know what? I should do something healthy. I'm just going to get – I decided to get some juice, some pineapple orange juice. I said, that's a healthy option. So I get up to the front, and it's $2. It's $1.99 for this juice. And the lady says and you know me, I don't carry cash. I don't carry cash.
Right.
There's a minimum on debit card purchases. And I'm like, lady, I'm putting $60 worth of gas in my truck right now. And you're going to quiver with me over wanting to get a juice? And she's like, I'm sorry, these are the rules. And I was like, so if I would have come in and paid for my gas in here instead of at the pump, I could have got the juice also? Yes. I was almost annoyed to the point that I just didn't get the juice at all. But then I went back and got a second juice, which I didn't drink. It's still sitting in my car now.
So you would get over the minimum?
So I would get over the minimum. It was a $4 debit minimum and a $5 credit minimum. I didn't even get to the limit where I can use my American Express, which is what I use. I never use my debit card even. So I had to use my debit card, which I never use, because they've got that minimum. I mean, what are we doing here? We're quibbling over a couple cents. Stop it.
It's crazy.
Everyone's making me crazy, Fred. I guess we have real news today. Bob Stoops has retired from Oklahoma. I've got some theories.
Okay.
We can get into.
That sounds good. We'll do that next segment.
Maybe you can tell me if my theories are crazy, but I've kind of got an idea of what's going on there, or at least an opinion on what might be. Let me tell you about Man's Best Friend. If you can't take your dog for a walk without him trying to jump up on somebody, or he's not responding to your voice when you give a command, if you've got a pet that's out of control, take him to Man's Best Friend. I've taken three dogs to Man's Best Friend, and every one of them has come back better. They all had different issues, but it doesn't matter because Man's Best Friend will customize a program to your dog. You tell them what you want done, that's what they'll work on. And from now until June 10th, we're running out of time on that. We're down to 3 days on that. June 10th, if you are military, police, firefighter, or a teacher, Man's Best Friend is offering 50% off all dog training, just to show their appreciation to you guys. So take advantage of that. Dog training is a good investment, and when you're getting 50% off, it makes it even better. So if you're one of those military, police, firefighters, or teachers, get on there now before the time runs out. 30% off for all our blitzers always, of course. For more info, log on to mansbestfriend.com. Man's Best Friend, the professional difference in dog training.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies, and school may be over, but we're not that far away from back to school. And you know what? Now's the time. A lot of the Blitzers have stepped up and donated vehicles, and now's your chance. Because obviously, if you've got something you're not using anymore, car, truck, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's running, motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor, a four-wheeler, anything that's just been sitting out there and you've been trying to figure out what to do with it, we'll donate it to Houston Can Academies because you're going to be able to help kids get through school, kids who've dropped out of other schools, they get a second chance at Houston Can Academies, and so many of them are really good kids that just were in difficult circumstances. And by donating your vehicle, you can change a life, and that may change a whole bunch of lives. And this is your chance. And while you're sitting around maybe you're sitting out on the porch right now or out on the beach, you can do it from your phone right now because it's real simple. They're going to come tow the vehicle free of charge, process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, how about a free $50 Visa gift card? Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And strange timing for Bob Stoops' announcement. I'd be curious to get your take on it.
I mean, I hate to be like the cynic. But I am.
Okay.
There's some people who have said maybe his health is an issue. But I feel like if that were the case, we would have heard about it before this.
And yeah.
Like, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Bob Stoops was, it was like a week ago, Bob Stoops was tweeting about recruiting. Usually if someone retires at this point in the off season, you know, where you're through your summer, you know, your all that stuff, this your spring practice and all that, doesn't it usually end up with some kind of scandal tied to it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I don't know if that's the case with Bob Stoops. That's just like when I heard that and I'm like, this dude's retiring in the middle of June. There's got to be something fishy coming on. I mean, there's it just seems weird. But I don't know. I could be full of it, but it just seems like that's a strange thing. It's strange timing, and with no explanation. I guess that's the other thing.
So on a scale of minor infractions to Baylor, where would you put this potential scandal that you see?
Well, it won't be Baylor level, but if it were a minor one, he wouldn't be retiring. So, I mean, it's got to be somewhere in between, which is a broad spectrum. But, I mean, I would think it's something that would put the program on probation, is what I would guess.
Hmm.
And he just doesn't want to deal with it.
Well, I don't think you're being cynical by thinking that, because obviously the timing is, like you said, it's either health or something's going to come up. And if I were going to guess, I would say scandal, simply because, well, just look at some of the kids he's had go through there. I mean, the guy tried to get Doriel Green Beckham on the team, you know, the whole Joe Mixon thing. I'm sure there's something about, we're about to find out. And, you know, it may be health, but he sure looks healthy.
So, like Chris Fowler says, sending positive vibes to Bob Stoops, positive wishes to Bob Stoops for a long, happy, healthy, all caps healthy retirement, and salute for tremendous 18-year run at OU.
Hmm.
So, maybe that's the case, but it just seems like it's such a strange thing. And you know, maybe before we start crapping on this guy and making assumptions, maybe we should also point out, dude had an incredible run at Oklahoma.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that is that's something that's hard to match at a school like that. And he dominated the Big 12, and almost since the inception of the Big 12, they've been the dominant program. And it's not an easy thing to do, you know, for that, you know, you're talking about. Since 1999, he's been there.
We've got his statement here, if you'd like to hear
it. Okay, let's hear it.
It says, after 18 years at the University of Oklahoma, I've decided to step down as a head football coach. I understand there's been some speculation about my health. My health was not the deciding factor in this decision, and I've had no incidents that would prevent me from coaching. I feel the timing is perfect to hand over the reins. That's not true. The program is in tremendous shape. We have outstanding players and coaches and are poised to make another run at a Big 12 and national championship. It goes on and on. It says, time is now because Lincoln Riley will provide a seamless transition as a new head coach. And, he doesn't completely dismiss the health thing. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, too.
But, right.
But I also, you know, it may be that just after going through spring and everything and getting ready to do another season, it may just been that he decided, you know what? I've had enough.
Maybe so. I mean, I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
But you've got to keep in mind, and this is, again, it's silly for us to make assumptions, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should have, that should not be my first, my first fresh off the presses assumption. But either way, this guy took over for John Blake, you know, and when I was in high school, like the late 90s, Oklahoma football was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they were losing.
They went through all those just crap coaches.
Oh, they were
and
an awful
Stoops
run.
Got them back to where. And to me, this is another negative for the Big 12, because
no question,
and you're losing a guy who is one of the certainly one of the top five or six most successful coaches out there, and who year in and year out has had them be competitive, and maybe not as many national championships as you would have liked to have seen, but damn it, he had them in the mix every year.
Yep. So, when we're talking about an 18-year career, 11 of those years, Oklahoma finished in the top 10. His first year, 1999, he took them to their first bowl game since 1994. They went 7-5 that year. That was their worst record under Bob Stoops. Zero losing seasons under Bob Stoops. They went to a bowl game every single year, and most of the bowl games were major bowl games.
Big ones.
Orange, which was the national championship game. Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, BCS championship game, Fiesta, Cotton, Sugar, Orange, Sugar. I mean, that is a really, really impressive run. And I guess we should also point out he's got a pretty impressive coaching tree. When you think about Mike Leach coached under him.
Kevin Sumlin.
Bo Pelini coached under him. His brother, Mike Stoops, coached under him. Mark Mangino, the great Mark Mangino coached under him.
Chuck Long.
He's had some great coaches under him. So he's a legend in the sport for sure. My guess, a College Football Hall of Famer. And whatever the reasoning behind it, I wish him the best. Four seasons undefeated in Big 12 play. That's pretty damn good, man.
And pretty damn good. Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are texting that he was diagnosed with a heart condition a month ago. But I mean, again, he said that's not the reason. So, I'll take him at his word for that, I guess. But Sean retweeted something and said, after taking over for Bob Stoops, when Lincoln Riley and Tom Herman face off in Dallas, their combined age will be younger than Bill Snyder. I could see that. Snyder has outlasted Stoops. He's outlasted Mack Brown. Pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Well, he took a little break.
He did take the break.
But I think the longest tenured coach now is Kirk Ferentz, which still boggles my mind. I mean, you know what I think of that guy.
Yeah, is the job too big for Lincoln Riley? I don't know. I would have liked for him to have had another head coaching job at someplace a little bit smaller first. Kind of take the Tom Herman route. But, you know, I like the guy as a coach, but that doesn't mean it's going to translate. And if OU falls off the map, that's not good for this conference.
No.
Because Baylor, from a football perspective, is basically dead right now. And that was a program that was winning a bunch of games for you. OU and Texas are your bell cow programs. Texas has been down for so long.
Yep.
If OU goes down, I just think it's bad for the Big 12. So
I think it's weird also that there's not some sort of a coaching search or anything like that. They've got their coordinator who's been there for, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And you just give him the job. It seems odd, but, he won the Broyles, which means he was the top assistant coach in the country. And I guess sometimes you got to give new guys a new chance. So
And by all indications are that he's a very good coach, but you can be a very good coach and step into a job like that and not be ready for it.
Yeah.
Drunk Bevo asked, what are the odds Stoops is the Aggie head coach next season?
It seems very unlikely.
Yeah. Creed asked, do you think OU pushed Stoops out so they wouldn't lose Riley? I don't think so. They've had so many.
They go through coordinators left and right. And
the one thing that Bob Stoops has always been able to do is find another good coordinator when guys leave. So I don't think that's it at all.
And Joshua says, didn't Urban Meyer retire from Florida because of his, quote, health? Is there a school he would prefer to go to? That's the thing. Bob Stoops has been offered every big job at some point in the last 10 years, including NFL jobs. And didn't take them. And, you know, the one place that I've never heard of him getting offered a job, mainly because, like I just mentioned, they've had the same head coach since he got to Oklahoma. But Kirk Ferentz at Iowa has been, and that's his alma mater. But even Bob Stoops isn't foolish enough to leave Oklahoma in hopes of getting the job at Iowa. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
So it's the timing on it is very strange. So I don't know. I'm not gonna. It's hard to say that there's nothing weird about it, but it's also hard to just say, well, the guy got busted cheating, because we don't know that.
Yeah.
But as you know, I'm very cynical.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Not at all.
You look at some of the guys that he's taken on there, just like Urban Meyer did at Florida. He took on a bunch of turds, too. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. But, you know, who knows? I mean, there's obviously something there, because you just don't make this decision now unless it's either health or he maybe got fed up with something, or, yeah, there's something else coming. Be my guess.
All right, let's talk to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey, guys, beautiful afternoon. I mean, what is always going on at Dirt Free is we go out and do the things at home you shouldn't have to do yourself. I mean, carpet, tile, grout, leather, drapes, upholstery, your air duct system. Remember, friends, most of that dust, when you slide those tapestry, those drapes open for the beautiful evenings, you know, you're going to see all that dust and debris in the air. That's contributing to your allergens, to the quality of the interior part of your home. And when you pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE, it's your one-stop solution without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. It is the most advanced system in the world for removing that debris you see floating around. We start with the carpets and upholstery. The carpets and the upholstery are the number two contaminant to your air quality. Number one is your AC system. So when you look at that register up on the ceiling, you see that big gray line around it like a foot out. That's when it's time to dial 281-DIRT-FREE. We have a $100,000 machine. They'll come in and suck that out for the truck. 281-DIRT-FREE. You don't want to have some rinky-dink truck. Look at the trucks in traffic. And then look at the dirt-free truck whenever you catch one. I mean, you will absolutely be amazed at the difference of a machinery. It just blows you away. We built our machines. Everything else I've ever seen is, you know, over-the-counter. People buy their carpet cleaning machines. So when you dial 281-DIRT-FREE, you'll get a specialty machine. And we'll start in the worst spot. If you don't love us, you don't have to pay us. Three rooms of carpet cleaning while we're doing the commercial live, we'll do for $100.
Oh.
We'll give you a $100 free speed dry, and you can start on three rooms, or if you need an air duct run or something like that done, we'll give you a free room of carpet cleaning. So 281-DIRT-FREE, guys, you've seen it work. You know it does. I always tell the truth. We will absolutely put our paycheck on making it look right.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate the time, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. I like the segment on tipping. One other thing I would throw in there, like if you go somewhere and say you've got a $50 gift card,
mm-hmm.
you still tip for what the actual bill would have been, right? You don't tip, like say you spend $85, you don't tip on a $35 tab.
No, you have to tip on
the
meal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one thing that I notice people do that a lot. It's like, no, you tip on the price.
And honestly, like sometimes we used to get free gift cards to LT Info.
Yeah.
So if I had $100 to spend at LT Info, not only would I tip on my meal, I would tip well beyond it because...
Right. I do that too.
You know, that's just...
Or if somebody, like if the bar buys you a couple of drinks, which happens sometimes...
Yes.
I always tip on what it would have been, actually a little more. So let's squeeze a couple calls. Is that Rodney? Let's get Rodney on.
Of course, sports. What are the odds that it was either you or AJ that prank called the John and Raheel and Dale show today? Because I thought that was so funny. Thought y'all were getting them back.
No.
It's not.
0%. 0%.
Yeah,
someone tweeted me about that. But
I'm not a prank caller, and it's just not something that. No, I. I'm sure it was a blitzer, and it was probably a funny blitzer, but it was not I. Wouldn't put it past Jong doing something like that, though.
That was not me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're professionals around here.
We try to be, yeah, in some ways.
You know.
So he said, I had this discussion at work yesterday, put a tip line on anything, and now you're almost obligated. And Casino Jay says we just need to watch the first 10 minutes of Reservoir Dogs to fully understand the art of tipping.
No.
Yeah.
That, can't go by that policy.
No, Mr. Pink was not. He was wrong. I respectfully disagree with Mr. Pink's policies.
Yeah.
Let's try Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports, Eddie.
Long time listener, first time caller. I know it's What Are the Odds Wednesday, but I heard one of you guys talk about your home warranty experience. And mine was totally different this past week. My home warranty company, Home Warranties of America, came out. I paid the $60 deductible. They called me back and said, my new payment is going to be $3,900.
Ooh.
And they couldn't tell me what their portion would be. I ended up calling a friend of mine who owned his own company, and he only charged me $25 to do the whole thing.
It was an air conditioner issue?
Yes, air conditioner.
Sometimes the home warranty people, they'll cover certain parts of the air conditioner,
but not
the compressor, which is like the expensive part of the air conditioner.
Right.
So I've had to buy multiple air conditioners out of pocket, one for my income house in Austin and then one for my one here.
This was the coil that they had to replace.
Okay.
And basically, I think our guys go up to like $1,500 on something like that. And so I wound up having to pay an additional $19 plus the $60 that I had to spend.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. But sometimes they'll say, we'll put in however much Freon,
right?
Like we'll put up to this much Freon, but then you need way more Freon than that, so you have to buy that too, and then they get you on that. So, yeah, those home warranties, sometimes it's good. Like the problem is most of the stuff that I need fixed, like my air conditioning, like that's the only thing in my house I feel like if it broke, it's not like, I don't want to say it. I mean, it's not painful to fix. If your washer and dryer broke, that would suck.
Yeah.
But it's not like you have, I mean, if you've got any amount of...
My next two things I have to get fixed.
If you've got any amount of savings, you can go buy a new washer and dryer.
Yeah.
And
if
your air conditioner breaks, that's like you've got a budget for something
right,
like that.
Right. And
unless you're a rich, you know.
Well.
Like Jong, if you're management.
713-780-ESPN. That's the thing. Like now, my problem is with the washer and dryer. But you know what? If those things can't fix those, I'll just go buy new ones. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
419 asked, do you guys watch House of Cards? If so, what do you think about it? I ejected after season 3. I thought season 3 was one of the worst bits of television I've ever seen, and I have no interest in investing another second of my life in that series. So people tell me season 4 was a lot better, but I'll never know. It's like, sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, in the words of the great Jules Winfield, but I'll never know. 713-780-ESPN. What'd you think of the Leftovers finale? I know you've seen it. I haven't caught up yet on Better Call Saul, but I did watch the Leftovers.
Last night I did a Americans, Fargo, Better Call Saul, the trifecta. I knocked all three of them out. Got caught up on all three. And Americans was the... That was the season finale. I don't think Fargo's over yet.
No.
And Better Call Saul's got a few more. But The Leftovers, the series finale of that, I mean, I thought it was okay. I'm with you. It still left a lot of things, you know, that were unanswered. And even to the point where when Nora was talking about the where she went, like to the alternate universe.
Yeah.
Where all the people who vanished were there. Like, was she making that up? Was that was it in her head? You can hardly ever tell because everybody's so insane in that show. So you don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah. I thought there was some good stuff. Like, I thought her sort of monologue was pretty powerful. I thought she did a good job with it.
She's a really good actress.
She is. And I thought that was well done. But for the most part, I felt empty at the end of it. And I think this year, you know, last year at the end of it, I felt the same way. I felt like, okay, this has just gotten stupid. But then the first episode this year was so good. And I'm like, okay, I'm back. I'm into it. And then it just kind of, I just thought there were too many episodes. Like the whole boat episode that just made no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And I don't think they really needed to make a third season. But
we didn't get anything from the they did need to wrap it up, but they probably could have done without a lot of what they did in this season. They didn't do anything with the dad. We never really found out what happened with Kevin, like with the drowning stuff.
Right.
Like, they just pretended like that never happened, which that bothers me. But I don't know. And it also bothers me when a show just skips 20 years, you know? Which this show clearly did. Maybe not 20, but probably 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I don't know. She looked a lot older, though.
She did look way older, but he didn't look that much older.
No, but that's because he's Jesus.
That's true. And that's a really handsome guy.
He is.
Do you know that he's married to Jennifer Aniston?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's her husband. So, yeah, I thought it was okay. Not spectacular. Overall, I would give the show, like the series, I would give probably a C+ or a B-.
Like, yeah, I would say it's probably C- for me because it did start off so well.
I think season two was the best, too.
I didn't like season two at all.
I loved season two. I thought that was really
well. I shouldn't say that. I thought it was really good until the last episode, and then it just got
That's
stupid.
Fair. Season three was maybe it brought down the average score. I'll say that. Without season three, I'd say it's a B+ series. With it, I'll say B-, C+.
I'll go C-. I thought it was a little below average, but mainly because it just you didn't need this year and the way season two ended. If they'd stopped it after the next to last episode of season two, it would have been an A. But Nick asks, what is the best episode of any show you've ever seen? The one that immediately jumps out at me is Sherlock season two episode. The last episode is one of the most memorable ones ever. And I also think the season ender of Game of Thrones this year was pretty amazing. I'd have to think about it a little
know.
More.
Yeah, I
but there's so many. Yeah, there's a bunch of really good Justified episodes that there were times that when after those I just go, wow, that's one of the best episodes I've ever seen. And there were several in that series, but I'd have to I have to give that some thought. But those two jump out at me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I like the God, there's a really good episode of The Sopranos where. Like remember when with the Russians and they go out in the woods? Where Paulie's stuck out there in the woods and Christopher in the snow. Yeah. I don't know what the episodes are called, but like that's a really
good
episode.
Most of the ones there when they whacked a really good character. I still think the Red Wedding is going to be.
That's a great one for sure.
Whenever somebody important that surprises you gets killed in these things.
Yeah, I like that. That's always my favorite thing when it's like, I would even say going back to like Sons of Anarchy, which ended up not being like an all-time legendary show or anything, but the episode where Opie died.
Yeah.
Man, that was a pretty heavy episode. And I remember that one like really hitting me and people were talking about it for a long time. So yeah, that's it's hard to pick out one.
What are the odd y'all going to talk about sports this hour?
We talked about Bob Stoops earlier. He coaches sports.
Doesn't he? That's what I thought.
Yes. Mm. Should we talk about the Astros loss? Dust in the wind? Do we need to do?
For the win streak?
John,
somebody asked
some?
Earlier, did the... I think they might be overusing Ken Giles a little bit right now. I mean, they've been trotting him out there a lot.
I'll be honest. With the exception of Davinsky, and now that Peacock's out of the mix, the bullpen it's not great. There's not a lot of guys that I 100% trust. You know, because you can't trust Giles 100%. You damn sure can't trust Gregerson 100%.
And with Giles, it's usually just one bad pitch, and then the rest of the time he's fine. But I do think they've been trotting him out there a lot lately, and I think they have to be a little bit more discerning about how they use him. Gregerson's untrustworthy right now completely. And, you know, that's the thing. I think they're a solid bullpen, but they're not one where they got four guys you can trot out there and say, oh, I feel great about this
right.
guy. And last night, and they've had a couple games like this, that the Yankees game that got rained out and pushed to Sunday, that they got beat up a little bit. I mean, that's going to happen. And more often than not, you're going to get good performances out of guys like Harris and And obviously, Davinsky's been solid. And I think Giles has been fine. It's just one game, man. It's not worth panicking over. It happens. And, you know, at the Royals, and that Moustakas hit a pretty nice pitch, frankly. So that's one where you tip your hat to the other team and say, gosh, I guess we'll just have to live with our 11-1 streak in the last 12. Yeah.
Now we've lost 7 road games this year now.
So let's push the panic button. 713-780-ESPN. What do I got to do for your job?
Mattresses.
Tell
me about your mattress.
I'm going to tell you. Well, actually, yeah, the cool thing about my mattress, obviously it's from Texas Mattress Makers. My guest room mattress is from Texas Mattress Makers. And whenever I have friends stay over, the first thing they say is, I got to go get me one of these. And any day, any time, you can bet that the factory over at Texas Mattress Makers is coming up with new technology to up your sleep game. Here's what they're doing now. The Paris and London mattresses both feature the latest in quad coil technology. And if you go buy a mattress there, you're going to learn all about this. And you'll realize why you sleep better, because they know what they're doing when they make these beds. And the Paris King set is now marked down to $945. That's an amazing bed. The London Kings are at a new low, $1,125. These are amazing mattresses. You go try to buy that in some retail store, you're paying 3 times the price. And they're the number one mattress store on Yelp. So it's not just me that says this, but they've really upped their game. And you can hit the London mattress with all your weight and you'll still sleep so well and cool, because it features a layer of graphite latex now that takes away moisture to make sure you sleep well and cool. So great, great beds and great people. They also do a lot in the community. And Yuval and Lax and the gang over there, go see them. They will put you on a mattress that will help you sleep better. And you're going to save a bunch of money. And you're doing business with great people. Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. I'm going to start a revolution from my
bed. Because you said the brains I have. Hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. July 5th, FX is premiering a new original series, Snowfall. To get you ready for the new series, executive producer John Singleton wants to send you and a guest on a 4-day, 3-night trip to L.A. You'll attend the world premiere screening and see how crack began when Snowfall premieres. Listen each day for your chance to qualify to be in the grand prize drawing. You could be on your way to L.A. That sounds like one hell of a giveaway there.
Yeah.
Couple things.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say a couple other shows came to mind. I don't know what episode it was. I was trying to look it up when this segment started. I think it's either episode 3 or episode 4 of the first season of True Detective, when they had the one shot with no cuts.
Yeah.
That was a really cool episode.
Yeah. There were several Banshee episodes, too, that you just...
And the episode of, and again, it was like the season finale, maybe in the first or second season of Justified.
Yeah.
When Arlo was willing to sell out Raylan and let him die, and Raylan turned the tables on Arlo, and then Raylan could have killed Boyd and didn't.
Yeah.
And it basically set up the entire series.
Yeah.
That was a pretty badass episode.
And there was a...
Who Goes There is the name of the episode from True Detective. And it was the 4th episode of that series. Also, I don't know what episode it was where Alexandria Daddario takes her top off on the couch.
Yeah, that's always good.
That might be the best television episode ever.
Deadwood, when they had the fight in the street, was one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
So... And of course, you always get one text like this. What are the odds the show has changed from sports radio to TV series radio? For Christ's sake, I don't want to hear about House of Cards. I want to hear about sports. SMDH, which I'm not sure what that means.
Shake my damn head.
Oh, well, listen.
The show hasn't changed.
Yeah, this is what the show is.
This is what the show has always been, especially in the summertime. And if you don't like it, that's okay.
Yeah, don't listen. If you want all sports, we're not for you. We've said that 1,000 times. And most of our listeners are pretty well-rounded. They're not totally locked into sports.
Yeah, if all you care about is sports, you're weird.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We've got weird people at work here.
And it, just like if all you cared about was TV, I would think you were weird too.
Hmm.
Diversify your life, sir.
Exactly. Yeah. What sports? Well, you want us to break down whether the Cavs are going to win tonight?
Yeah.
We could do that. Woo. I'm thinking Cavs and under tonight.
Okay. I think
small. I'm not throwing much at this. I just want to have.
Well, I think I think the Cavs win tonight. I think if they've got to win. I mean, I don't know that they can win the series, but if they even want to have a chance to win the series, tonight's obviously a must. You can beat the Warriors after they're up 3-1. I don't know if you can beat them when they're up 3-0.
Beat them when they were up 3-1 last year.
I know, but if they're up 3-0,
yeah.
I think that may be too much.
I think it'll be too much. I do think they come back with a big effort tonight, though. And this might be the only one they win. I mean, the way this series is going.
You know, we were talking about the Bob Stoops thing. Someone just sent me this stat. In 18 seasons at Oklahoma, Bob Stoops lost 29 conference games, which is an average of 1.5 conference losses per season. How crazy is that?
Is that good?
This is phenomenal.
Is that good? Yeah, I'm just curious. I'll tell you what else is good, and feeling better about yourself and donating something to Houston Can Academy. And by something, I mean a car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor, four-wheeler, anything. Doesn't matter if it's running or not. Doesn't matter if it's just been sitting in your garage and you didn't know what to do with it, and you finally just said, hey, you know what, maybe I'll sell it, maybe I'll just get rid of it. No, donate it, because here's what's going to happen. You're gonna help change a life. And here's what they do for you. They're going to tow the vehicle free of charge. They take care of all the paperwork. So you could be sitting anywhere and make that phone call. And your donation's tax deductible. And now, during the summer, perfect time. Clean out some stuff. Make a donation. Get that tax deduction. And you get a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And that money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies, which is a place where students get a second chance. Students that have had to drop out of other schools. Well, Houston Can Academy works around whatever that problem was. It's so many of them are really good kids that go on and do great things. And that's why your donations help them. And the Blitzers have really stepped up. Well, now we'll have another school year coming up very quickly. Now's the time to go ahead and donate. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.